What's up, everybody? It's Lex and Stacy with yet another threesome podcast, number 29. Hi, Stace.
Hi, Lex. How are you doing?
I'm good, babes. Doing just fine.
I'm glad. If people had been privy to our conversation right before we began recording, they would have heard me say, "So how is your prostate?"
And they would have heard me say, "I drink right, I eat right, I work out, so it's not as declining as some."
And that is a good thing.
Yeah. Although
I pray for your prostate.
Yeah, I pray for every guy over 35's prostate.
Do you?
I do.
That's a lot of praying.
Well, apparently that's when it becomes a problem, so.
Really? That young?
Yeah.
I would have said 45 would have been the youngest. I don't know a lot about the prostate.
I mean, certainly the curve starts going way up at 45, but as early as 30 years old, the incline of the graph starts.
Do you know, does massaging it regularly help?
If it does, I'm going to live a long time.
He's immortal.
This guy won't leave.
You're like Rose Kennedy, but different.
Yeah. How old are you, Lex? I'm 160, actually.
He's the Highlander.
What do you owe the secret to your success? I can't say.
It's
Why
a
not?
Really,
because I'm classy.
It's a coffee enema and a prostate massage.
But if you get the HBO movie package and you live by yourself, you're going to live a long time. That's all I can say.
Oh, golly.
So last week, remember my tongue-in-cheek TV repairman sex rant?
Yes. How could I forget?
We actually had a guy through our audio thing on the Lex and Terry show was just absolutely put off by that. He took me completely serious. So let me know if you can hear this or not.
Thing TV repairman story I have ever heard. That was so lame and so not a turn on. I bet your sex life is so boring as hell. You explaining what you're gonna do to her. I'm sorry, man. It's too funny. It's too funny.
Anyway.
Well, I guess it is good to know that you did not turn him on.
Yeah, dude.
Because that was not your intent.
Yeah, dude, I had no way, shape, or form was out to turn you on. And I wasn't talking about a fantasy. I'm sad to tell you that happened. And that's kind of the way it went down, and she thought I was ridiculous, and I was being over the top with it on purpose, you dumbass. So I assure you, my sex is pretty good sometimes. I know you worry about it.
Sometimes.
Have I been boring in bed? You bet. And I even call my shot sometime and go, you know, there's nothing in this for you. This is going to be pretty much a ram job, and I'm going to bed. But thank you for displaying the, you know, providing the parts to make this possible. And
I defy to find any woman who hasn't done that.
Oh, well, God,
like, okay,
yeah.
You know, this is going to do absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate it, but I'm just not there. So just do your thing and we'll call it good.
I'm going to tell you guys something, and it's going to make you sad, but I truly believe it's 100% true to the man. If you initiate sex, she's not going to come.
I would say the odds are higher. I wouldn't say every time. If he's good at what he does, he could hopefully get her in the proper frame of mind a good portion of the time.
Yeah, every once in a while. But just being honest, if you guys aren't in a sexy place, if you aren't in the mood, if you're doing it to pretty much appease us, the odds are very, very, very low that you're going to blast off. I'm sorry. So you guys who think you're Casanova out there, you think you can make every woman come at the drop of a hat, you're stupid. You can't. I don't care how big your crank is, how big your tongue is, how long your fingers are. I don't give a shit. If she's not in the mood for sex, you can jam all those things in her and she'll put up with it and make noises for you because you're probably an all-around okay dude and send you on your way. Am I wrong here?
Again, I defy any woman, you know, that has had a regular sex life in her life to say, you know, no, that hasn't happened. It happens. And you hope that occasionally your man will actually reciprocate. And I know that happens a lot less. But once in a great while, guys, if you could just take a moment and do her thing and not you do your thing, that is noticed and appreciated more than you know.
I do that all the time.
You rock, Lex.
I love pussy.
Can you say it like you're a little more mentally challenged?
No.
I like pussy. Well, I am happy for you.
Yeah. So I have no problem spending time down there with it not being for me. Who cares?
Sadly, that is not the mindset of a good amount of men.
I don't get it. I don't understand how the smell of that is, you know, as soon as the pants come off or the panties come off, if the aroma of that is not an aphrodisiac for a dude, I don't know what is.
See, though, I believe from knowing you, not that well, but knowing you, I believe that you have a more sensitive than normal sense of smell.
Well, yeah, you've heard the stories about me.
Yes, I have.
I predicted some girl's demise, and 2 months later, she was getting all her girly parts taken out.
You also, charmingly enough, can tell when some women you work with are on the rag.
Yes.
Yes. That's always pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I pat you on the shoulder and go, it's okay, I get it.
You're entitled to this cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, these heathens don't know what's going on, but I do. You keep your chin up over there. Sure.
I am very happy that you never said that to me, but I have seen you in action with that.
Yeah, it's back before you lose your job for it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, now you just can't do or say anything.
So you're bleeding from the vagina.
Yeah.
Tampons, pads, what are you doing? So, the days before corporate radio and HRs.
I used to hate going to HR.
Did you go a lot?
I went a lot as a boss. And usually it was for that kind of stuff, you know, and it was sad.
As a woman, and I cannot speak for everybody, I have never been offended by sex talk, by men being pigs, by men being men. You know, in fact, I enjoy joining in. I like being able to go toe to toe with like gross smack talk and stuff. So it does make me sad that that kind of has gone away more than it used to, you know.
Yeah, because somebody with an agenda is like, oh, it bothers me and it makes me scared.
Yes, and you know, I respect people who feel that way. You know, I get it that not everyone is going to have those conversations that I have, and but, you know, especially I learn not to have those conversations around those people.
But you know those people from the get-go.
Yes, you know, and you that, should be smart enough to stay away.
The people that are genuinely like that stay like that.
Yes.
You know, and then you have somebody that does join in the frivolity and does make little, you know, sexual wisecracks and stuff like that. But as soon as it benefits them, you know, for somebody on staff to come at them with something, you know, they want a raise or they want that person gone or whatever, all of a sudden it's that offends me.
Right.
I actually had to play a tape of a girl. For some reason, the producer left the recording card on, and I actually had to play a tape of a girl in a conversation with us where she was being as down and dirty as the rest of us, and then played that card later.
Sorry.
Oh no, luckily I had it.
Right. But I know, but still to even have to do it, you know? Just a pain in the ass.
But, well, you know, somebody was getting ready to lose their job, and I had to go in and go, you know, I just want you to hear that she initiates these conversations at times.
Right.
We actually were lucky enough to have this, so I want you to hear it so you know this is a level playing field here. This isn't somebody initiating a conversation around somebody that, you know, we all know doesn't want to go in that area. This is somebody who not only would go there, but started the conversation. Let's go to the tape.
Now, I can say, and this is just my own personal code. Everyone has their own code, and this is mine. I have never considered anything sexual harassment unless there has been actual unwanted touching, or if it has been specifically said, if you don't blow me, I'm not going to give you a raise. If it's actually been leveraged, that is when I would consider it over the line. But just to walk in, I don't know. That's, to me, it's just fun. It was such a boring workplace. Uh-huh. If you can't just be dirty.
Probably were in 6 or 7 of those meetings over all the years, having to be a witness, having to be the manager for the person that it was up against, or, you know, had to go in there representing the person that was making the complaint. Yeah, I was on all sides of it, and I fucking hated all of it, because at the end of the day, nobody was hurt. You know,
right.
It should have just been either of you talk to each other about anything, you're gone.
And see, I would respect if someone said, you know, you're swearing or whatever, you know, you were talking about, it really made me uncomfortable. And I would say, I'm sorry, I did not know that. You know, I will refrain, my apologies. And I will be sincere, because I honestly don't go out of my way to make people uncomfortable. It just happens naturally, you know. You get people bitching because people are having fun. That's what it seems to me sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, you hear everyone like in the production room laughing about something filthy, and they're pissed because they didn't get invited.
I had a salesperson come down the hall one time and wanted me to go to HR on one of the air staff who was having a conversation in that very place, in the production room area where salespeople have to go. And they were in there laughing about something, and she says, I shouldn't have to be subjected to that. And I said, well, then don't. Come back.
Yes.
I said, come back at another time. I said, they did not initiate that conversation or had that conversation in front of you. You walked into it, so get out of my office. Have the smarts, if you don't like it, to go back to where you came from until the conversation's over.
Exactly. No, I agree 110%. Yeah. You know, I have never been made to feel uncomfortable. In fact, honestly, it's the people that make me uncomfortable are really the goody two shoes, because then I feel like I'm walking on eggshells and I'm going to slip up and do something anyway. Yeah, and I mean, it's just not fun.
She filed a complaint on me for blowing her complaint off. You know, so I had to go down the hall, and luckily my boss said, yeah, if you don't want to hear that, you need to leave the room. You know, was it initiated with you in the room? No. Well, then you need to leave the room. You need to turn around and go the other way. I can't control what conversations take place around this workplace.
And see, that's, it's the place. You know, you don't go into radio unless it is a Christian station. You should have an idea
even
that it's
then,
a creative place.
Fucking each other, Stacey. You know they are.
I know. Yeah. Really boring, awful Christian sex, but yes.
And nobody can pass a drug test at a Christian station either. unless the test is to have drugs in you, then everybody passes.
Yes. But, you know, it's radio, so it's a creative place. There are a lot of coarse people.
Yeah.
It is what it is,
yeah,
you know.
It's 35 type A personalities on the sales and programming side. You know, it's not a place for the meek by any stretch of the imagination.
If I don't want to hear the word fuck, I am probably not going to go, you know, be the office person for a bunch of construction guys.
No.
You know, and I don't mean to stereotype, sorry guys, but you know what I'm saying.
If you don't want to hear the word fuck, don't work, is what I say. You're not going to go anywhere and not hear the word fuck. I'm fucking underpaid. I fucking hate this place. I fucking hate that asshole I work for. My fucking car's broken. My fucking kid's an asshole. My fucking money situation blows. Fuck, 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 fuck. I gotta make another fucking
word,
Big Mac.
Isn't it?
I mean, if I have to make another fucking Big Mac for these fucking douchebags out here, I'm gonna fucking blow my head off. You're not gonna
Very
go anywhere
true.
And not hear the word fuck, people. Sorry. Wish I could give you the news that there's a sanctuary for that, but I've even heard the word fuck in a Catholic church.
That was probably me.
No, it was the pastor. The
yes.
priest.
They can be some of the coarsest
yeah.
people that you will ever meet. They don't get to have sex, so they can smoke, they can drink,
yeah.
and they can swear like a sailor.
Uh-huh.
In fact, where I live, one of the priests when I was growing up, it was just knowledge that, like, if he did a wedding, and then of course you have to invite him to the reception, he would literally walk into the reception already with a beer in one hand and a lit cigarette in the other. And it was like, oh, Don's here. You know,
yeah, I went to see a priest with a girlfriend of mine that was marrying a dude, and she was going to talk
so
to
So she was your girlfriend or a friend who's a girl?
A friend who's a girl. And asked me to
My
go.
Girlfriend was getting married.
And asked me to go with her and, you know, to talk to this guy and everything. I don't know why, because, you know, it was basically he and her doing most of the talking. You know, he asked me a couple of things about them as a couple, but that was basically it. And, God, he was just dropping F-bombs all over the place. And I'm like, you can talk like that? And he goes, I try not to make it a practice, but yes, sometimes I talk like this. I'm like, and you're allowed? He goes, I'm allowed.
Yes, they are.
I said, okay, well, that's awesome. I said, I may come join this place. He goes, well, you're not allowed to do it.
Have some couth.
And I was like, I see. Well, that's very hypocritical. And he goes, welcome to the Catholic Church.
Yes. Welcome to religion in general.
Yeah. He goes, all these people that come here are hypocrites, but there are hypocrites.
Yes.
Okay, good. I like this guy.
You know, I was raised Catholic. And my senior year of high school, you know, we went through confirmation. And part of the confirmation process, you each have to have a personal interview with the priest, which was Donald. And he asks you questions about your beliefs and all this stuff. And so my mom and dad had dropped me off. I went in and sat down at his desk. And his office reeked of smoke. He's got a lit cigarette sitting in the very full ashtray on his desk, you know. So he's asking me questions. And he said, you know, abortion. What's your opinion on it? And I said, because, you know, I don't know. I'm young and naive.
Let's go get one.
Yes, two. And, you know, I guess to me, it's worse to lie to a priest, you know, this whole thing. And so I just said, I think it's a woman's business. You know, I'm not going to tell. And I don't want anyone telling me what to do. And he's like, oh. And he's like, is that your final answer? I'm like, yes, it is.
What is this, Jeopardy?
Pretty much. And he said, I tell you what, you go home and you think about that for a few days, and then you let me know if you change your mind. And I'm like, okay. And so I go back out. My mom and dad are in the car waiting for me, and they're like, so how'd it go? And I said, well, I have to think about some things for a few days. And my mother's horrified. Oh, I got bitched at all the way home. And it's like, do you want me to lie to the priest? Is that what you're telling me? I'm so confused right now.
No wonder Catholic girls suck dick.
It's the only
way you can be assured of giving your dude sex without getting knocked up.
Exactly. And you can't use birth control because that's a bad thing, too, you know. Ultimately, what happened was my catechism teacher ended up calling the bishop in Saginaw, Bishop Utner, who was this really, he has passed away, but he was our one-legged hockey-playing bishop. I love the North. And he called Donald and said, oh, give it up. Just let the girl get confirmed.
Yeah.
And so I got to get confirmed in the Catholic Church.
Get all the goody two-shoes shit out of here.
Yes. And I didn't have to give up my belief in letting a woman choose.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is a former Catholic priest, and he's a great guy. He's a philosophy professor in California now. And he left the priesthood, and I said, I was waiting for some deep answer. He said, I said, why'd you leave the priesthood? And he goes, so I could fuck your sister.
High five.
I went, is she worth all that?
Your eternal damnation of soul and all that?
And he goes, after 20 years of not having any, yes.
It was magical.
Yeah.
It was the second coming.
Yes. So he just couldn't handle it anymore.
Well, question then. Does that mean he knew your sister before he left?
No, that was just his joke. But he goes, I just found myself thinking about sex all the time. I just, you know, and he goes, every woman, I was just staring at women in department stores and restaurants and bars. And he goes, this is ridiculous. You know, I can't go the rest of my life without having a woman. This is fucked up.
See, so, when I was in high school, we had a psychology class, and there was this unit on religion. Okay, so not trying to get you to be any particular religion, but, you know, they brought Mormons in, and you know, I think they even found a Jewish person or something.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
So they had this priest come in, Father Sweeney, and he was not a priest from our church in my town. He was from some other place, and we're supposed to ask questions. And so, you know, we're just asking questions, you know, and during the course of this conversation, we find out, and he's admitting this to a high school psychology class, that he had been almost defrocked because he liked to have sex with his female parishioners. And it was like, oh, this just got really interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you start getting high school students going, so where are you meeting these women? You know,
yeah.
and And you can see him like, oh, just wishing he hadn't been so honest.
Uh-huh.
But apparently he liked to dabble in the puss.
Yeah, of course.
It was like the thorn birds, but different.
So, to change course here, just a little bit, I was looking at our Threesome Podcast Facebook page and saw the story about the guy who gave his kids away.
Isn't that awful? What a douchebag.
I don't know. Explain it to me a little more, and then I'll let you know.
Let me bring it up. See, now you're making me work my hamster in overtime.
No,
my internet
just
hamster.
Do it.
I am. Let me bring it up. It was a state representative who had some adopted kids, and apparently two of them, can't do two things at once. Basically, he and his wife rehomed them, which I didn't know you could do. And I don't know, like, if you don't want your kids, without going through, like, any legal channels, you can just rehome them someplace else. Is this a thing? Do you know?
Never heard of it, but I like his decision making.
Well, you shouldn't, because the guy that he gave these two girls to molested at least one of them.
Oh.
He basically handed these two adopted girls there, that's much better.
You know, if he would have vetted out a little better, I like the fact, you know, it's like you little two fuckwads who I took in are a couple of douche fucks. I am sending you off to somebody else. I can't.
Your new mommy and daddy don't want you anymore.
But then again, you know, I think he wanted to send them to somebody that would scare them a little bit, just not that much.
He scared him with three fingers and a penis.
Yes. God, did he scare them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just picture the two of them meeting in a parking lot. You weren't supposed to scare them like that. You're just supposed to put
on... But Uncle Knuckles said that's what we're supposed to do.
You were just supposed to put on scary masks and stuff. Oh, I did that.
I frightened them with my uncircumcised penis.
Believe me, mister, they're scared. What a crazy fucked up story.
I've got it up now. I can read it.
I can't wait to talk to her about this.
An Arkansas politician is defending his decision to rehome two of his young adopted daughters by sending them to live with a man who ended up molesting one of them last year. The story broke last week after police received an anonymous tip that Arkansas State Representative Justin Harris and his wife, Marsha, who run a preschool together, so these are people that know kids, had been cashing state adoption subsidy checks for children that they weren't taking care of.
I own plants. I don't know what the fuck to do with them. Except pour a little water in them. So don't act like they're an expert.
In 2013, the Harrises adopted the two young sisters, who they were reportedly warned, so they knew ahead of time, grew up around meth addicts and endured significant emotional and sexual abuse. So these were problem kids, and they were warned about them. And less than a year later, the couple decided to give the girls back, claiming they were just too emotionally damaged to keep. Because, you know, that's good. When you're already emotionally damaged, just return them. That doesn't hurt them anymore or anything. Now, the state said no, so Harris reportedly decided to rehome them, which is a largely unregulated process that is currently legal in Arkansas. So in Arkansas, you can rehome someone, I guess. Now, the newspaper, the Hamilton Spectator, says at a press conference last week, Justin Harris said the adopted girl's behavioral problems caused him to fear for his biological children's safety. One of his new daughters crushed a family pet to death. That's awful. And his three biological sons started sleeping in their parents' bedroom because they were scared.
Wow.
But when the politician approached state human services officials, Justin Harris said the agency refused to help with the girls' problems and threatened to charge the Harrises with abandonment if the children were returned.
Wow. That's awesome.
It does sound like this. Tate kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You know, if someone comes to you and says, I can't handle my kid or kids,
they need help. What is it with these elected officials in Arkansas?
I know.
And then the other guy who wrote the letter to Iran. who I'm sorry, that guy got pawned into doing that by some elder statesman senator. didn't want his dirty hands on. but I know the guy's like, you know what you need to do? You need to assert yourself as a young senator and write a letter to Iran.
You'll get noticed by the right people.
You'll get people to sign off on it, probably people like your age, and send that letter off. It's the right thing to do.
In fact, I've already written it for you. You just sign it.
Yeah, exactly. Here, just check for typos and stuff. I'm pretty good at writing letters, but you go ahead and take the credit for it.
Yes, I'll do that for you because I care about your career.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That was an Arkansas senator, I do believe. How disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's going to follow him the rest of his political career. Apparently,
if he has one.
Apparently, he thinks he's the president. Wow, what an ego this guy has. In the meantime, he just got played. Like, Mitch McConnell, I need you to write this letter.
It sounds very Frank Underwood-y.
It is. It's awesome. I laughed almost out of my chair when I found out that's the way that went down, because I knew right away that was not that guy's idea.
Stupid, stupid, silly people.
It's either Mitch McConnell or Ted Cruz or somebody. Someone
much more deviant
take the fast track to the top here. Frank Underwood, my man.
I have been waiting. I have not watched any of it yet. This is the next season.
Oh,
I've
God,
been kind of.
I watched it.
I want to savor it.
I watched it all in one weekend. I couldn't stop. I could not stop.
Now, don't give me a lot of spoilers, since you already told me like the first 2 minutes of the first episode. But is Claire just as awesome?
I mean, is she as capable and is she as, you know, on track as usual? Yeah. However, she gets a little full of herself.
Ah, does she have to be put in her place?
I can't say.
Okay, thank you. All right, I will watch for that then.
Yeah. All I can tell you is there's a 15-minute scene in the Oval Office, either in the last episode or the second of the last episode, between Claire and Frank Underwood that is...
And the Secret Service guy.
That is just absolutely epic.
Oh, good. I can't wait. Don't tell me. Yay.
Just those things you can't take back.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
See, I finally broke down and started watching The Walking Dead. I will admit, I hate zombies. Zombies, I have like an irrational fear. They just scare the crap out of me, especially if they're fast. So I had really been putting off watching The Walking Dead for years and years and years, and started watching it. And once I got kind of numb to the scariness of the zombies, then I was fine. And really, 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 really love that show now.
Yeah, I mean, the sociological experiment within that show is just absolutely amazing.
Because really, it's really a show about people surviving post-apocalypse, you know, you become tribes, and it seems like it's very realistic. I could see where all that happens, you know?
I mean, there's nothing I can debunk in it as far as how it would go down.
And I have such a thing. I absolutely love and adore Daryl.
Oh, everybody loves Daryl.
Oh, he's just, I think he's had the best character growth. I love who he's become in the show. It's like, you're just rooting for him all the time. It's like, go, Daryl, go.
Now, how far into it are you?
The first four seasons, all that were on Netflix.
All right, so so you're not watching the new one right now?
No, not till it comes out on Netflix.
So what was the last one, the last episode you saw?
They had gotten to Terminus and then ended up in the train car.
Okay. So you will enjoy all that comes after that.
Season four was so fucking depressing. They could not catch a break. They had the flu. They you know, it was just like, oh my god, the prison. Yeah. It was just like, oh, this. And then they all got split up. I just wanted something good to happen to one of them just once. And I have to say, that last episode of that season, well, it wasn't the last one, it was the one where all of the bad guys that Daryl had kind of hooked up with,
yeah,
when they ran into Rick and Michonne and the son,
yeah.
That almost rape scene with the son, when he flipped that kid over on his stomach, I was like, this is going to be really hard to watch. Please tell me they did not rape that kid in front of everybody. But I was really getting a little emotional with that. It was like, no.
What do you mean emotional? Yeah. Like turned on or what?
No. Oh. I was horrified. It was like, not no. After everything else. Don't let the kid get raped in front of his father.
Yeah, that would be fucked up to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and as I said, when he flipped him over on his stomach, I was just like, no, 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 talking to the TV, just like, please, God, no.
Yeah,
I think I would have stopped watching if that had happened. I don't know if I could have handled that.
It's so funny, though. You know, it's like they hate these zombies. They hate them. They just fucking despise them. But there's times like where they see one caught like under a car or something like that, and it's been there like for fucking ever.
Yes.
You know, that they go over and mercy kill it. You know, it's crazy.
I keep, as I watch the show, I sit there in the back of my head and think, in that universe, in the Walking Dead universe, do you know how bad it must smell all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, because there are hundreds and thousands of rotting walking corpses around all the time. It's got to reek.
Yeah, and
you probably don't even notice it anymore.
There's no running water. Everybody's crapping outside, peeing outside.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal.
But I'm glad I finally got over my pussiness with the zombies and watched it. It's very good.
Yeah, they're just zombies. They just eat flesh and shit. Who cares?
It's an irrational thing. I believe, because of things that have happened in my life and my reaction to them, go ahead and think I'm nuts. I believe that if there is such a thing as like previous lives, that I might have been pursued and eaten in one.
I know for a fact you were pursued and eaten in this one.
Nice. I have had a recurring dream my entire life, like since I was a little kid. I can tell you I've had the dream in the last year, and it is me being chased through the woods by a bear and running and running and being able to hear it crashing, you know, through the underbrush and everything as it's right behind me. And I always wake up as it gets me, as it like drags me to the ground and begins to kill me. That is when I wake up. It's the same thing all the time.
I have a lot of tribal dreams, you know, like,
really?
like I was, yeah, like I'm in a tribe, a group, not a big one, not a small one, you know, it's very organized and very high, you know, the hierarchy is set in, and sometimes I'm one of the town peons, sometimes I'm one of the hierarchy, sometimes I'm, you know, in the middle. It's weird.
Now, is the imagery always the same? Like, it seems like it's in the same place?
It seems like the same circumstances, but not the same surroundings.
Okay. Interesting.
You know, I have like a family, not just an immediate family, but I have brothers, sisters, you know, nieces, nephews. My age range in it goes all over the place. You know, where I'm young, I'm old, I'm, you know.
Are you always male?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. They say, if you believe in that, I know, like, for reincarnation, they say that in your next life, if you believe that, you will come back as the opposite sex. So I was just curious.
Oh.
I'm always me in my dream. So, you know, it's not like, look, I'm Stacy in a long Victorian dress, you know, I'm just me. So, and plus too, I admit, like, I just don't judge, but a Jurassic Park is truly, for me, one of the most horrifying movies I've ever seen. And I know how absolutely stupid that sounds. That is the only movie I have ever considered getting up and walking out of in a movie theater. And it was the pursuit. It was the animals coming to get them and chasing them and eating them. It just scared the crap out of me. And zombies kind of represent that, too. So I do think that if I were alive at some other time, something got me. That I ran and it got me.
Wow.
I know.
I can't think of anything more frightening than some, you know, like a 600-pound animal, like a lion or tiger or something like that, just ripping your limbs off.
I know, because you're still alive. You don't die immediately unless you're lucky, you know.
I'll tell you another dream I have. It's really weird that somebody has broken into my house, and I'm always laying powerless on the floor, like I'm paralyzed. Like, I want to beat the shit out of them, but I have, like, 1/5 of my strength that I normally would have, and I'll try to get up, and they'll kick me back down or hit me or whatever the case is, and I can't get up. And, you know, of course, they're taking whatever they want and doing whatever they want to my family. You know, once again, my family is not my family in real life, but in my family in the dream.
Right.
And I have that a lot. I have
now. Do you have a reaction? Like, kind of like, do you wake up? Is that a scary dream to you?
I guess I wake up like angry, or, you know, kind of exhausted. You know,
right?
But not like super scared or frightened or anything. It's like I want to go back in and, you know, now that I have all my strength back, and kick some ass, you know.
Right.
You know,
I could do something.
Because it's weird, you know. And I think what happens is, like, I fall asleep on my arm and it falls asleep.
Oh.
You know, because when in the dream, my limb is powerless. I can't use it. You know, and
right.
I have noticed when I've woken up before that I've my right arm's asleep because I've slept on top of it or have it a different way or whatever the case is. So I think that has something to do with it.
Probably. See, now I have and on occasion.
And I sleep with the TV on, and usually it's something like Criminal Minds or something like that.
Because
you know, so.
That's good, yeah. Osmosis stuff there. Now, I don't actually think I'm having a premonition. I think it's just amazing how fast your brain can work, that you can actually seem to have, like, it seems like almost a complete dream that ends with the phone ringing, and that's when you realize the phone is actually ringing. But your brain had enough time to put this whole dream together to put the phone in it. Does that make sense? Does that ever happen to you?
No. No, I can't say
just
it.
Me.
You can't say it does. But hey, it's okay.
Well, thanks.
I'm not going to judge. You're a weird chick. Everybody knows it.
Thanks. I am, I guess.
Yeah, but
so you're
know,
tribal, and someone is overpowering you on the floor.
Yeah,
that's
basically 80% of my dreams. You know, split, those two split 40-40, and then the other 20%, you know, stuff I can't even remember.
Right. So have you ever had any really good sex dreams?
Oh, God, yes. My first sex dream was a wet dream.
And did that freak you out?
Totally,
you know what was happening?
Totally. I had no fucking idea what was happening. But all I remember is this was so fucking weird, because here's the way the dream went. You know, like those space shots they do where you see planet Earth and then they like zoom in and you see the building tops, then the pool on top of the building and the, well, I'm in space and I hurl towards the Earth and I land in a pool and a really hot mid-20s, low-20s tanned bikini chick comes over.
Now, how old would you have been when you had this dream?
I was like 13, maybe.
Okay, so she's like, wow, you know, for you.
She's fucking beautiful. I mean, and sweet talking me, and she's rubbing all over me, and I was like completely, I mean, it's so vivid. I remember what the bikini looked like. I remember the number of people sitting around the pool. I remember everything about it. It's that vivid of a dream. And she grabs me down there in the dream and has this beautiful smile on her face and has this water glistening off the sun in her tan skin and everything. And all of a sudden, I wake up into Goo Fest.
Yay.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So my mom.
No, I guess at 13, you've had like an orgasm prior to this, correct? With masturbating and stuff. Or was that your first one ever?
I don't think so. Because I remember, and I maybe may have been a little younger, I don't know, but I remember not knowing what that shit was.
Okay.
Like I thought there was something wrong with me. And so my mom being a nurse, the next day I take my underwear in. And I go.
And you showed her?
And I showed her.
Do I need to go to the doctor, Mom?
And I went, I think I've got something wrong with me. Cause, like an infection or something, because this was. It's dry now, but it was all messed up last night. And she goes.
Did she excuse herself and leave the room for a moment herself?
No, oh, she good. And she handed them back to me and said, put them in your laundry. Don't worry about it.
And next time, warn me before you have me touch
it. And I went, don't worry about it. She goes, don't worry about it. And it wasn't 3 or 4 days later where, you know, my dad, you know, so great, with all his grace, said, so, you had your first one, huh?
Now, what was more mortifying to you, that you talked to your mom about it or your dad?
Either one.
Or just
either
both of
either
them
one. The fact I had to get my information from either one of them, unlike what kids have to do anymore, was just humiliating. I mean, it was, you know, Samantha is hilarious because I gotta give it up for Sandy, who put a great presentation together to explain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it was complete with acting and plays, and you know, she really tried to make it fun and, you know, and interesting and all that stuff. I actually was quite amused by the whole thing. And she had a friend in town who's, you know, like an aunt to Sam and everything. So the two of them together were letting her know about it and everything. And they did a pretty good job. You know, and I think Sam came away from that like, you know, although probably already hearing stuff at school, I think it connected the dots for her.
Right.
If that makes sense. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, good job, you know, nicely done. And then Sandy leaves the room, and the aunt's in there with Samantha, and she goes, I need you to be careful, honey. I got raped when I was younger.
but I'm not going to explain what rape is.
And Samantha had this look on her face like, what? Like, what is that?
See, my mother would say it's when a man gets fresh with a woman and doesn't want her to. She doesn't want him to.
And you know, she was talking to her like she knew all about it. You know, like she was, you know, had the down low on, you know, a man forcing himself on her and stuff like that. She's like 11, you know?
And, you know, unless you've had it happen to you, you know, I can say that wasn't anywhere in my it never occurred to me that a man could do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. There is that moment when you realize, but as a kid, hopefully you just don't think that someone's going to do something to you like that. That's very personal and degrading.
So I went over and said, you know, I think she's processed enough information for today. Don't you? It's like, go to your room.
Let's not scare her.
I think I said something like, go to your room, Sam, if you're not too scared to do so. My whole birds and bees talk with Sam was like a couple years later. She broached the subject about it, and I think I've told you this before. It was just like, look, it's not a question of if, but when. And I'm not going to bullshit you and tell you should wait till this time or wait till this time. That's not something only you know. And I advise you heavily to do it with somebody you care about, responsible. Make sure you are protected, you know, all the stuff you would tell somebody they need right to look out for. And she has come back at me so many times telling me how much she appreciates the way I handled it.
You know? See, I do think it is important. I wish my parents had been open. It was very much all that stuff was never discussed except in hushed, whispered tones, you know, in back rooms and things.
Yeah, well,
idea that you could talk to her, and if you can talk to your kid, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I just think that if you can talk to your kid, like, it's no big deal. Guess what? Your period is no big deal. And I'm talking about it in front of your brother and in front of you and your dad, and nobody gives a crap.
Right.
Then she doesn't have that horrifying fear of her period, of wearing a bra, of penises. You know, it's just much more natural.
I had well over a decade to think about this, you know, when that day happened, and I came to the conclusion I would rather have control over telling her how this goes than some douchebag.
Yeah.
I would rather give her the 411 on how close it's going to be and what to expect and what to look out for and what to be careful of and all that, as opposed to her having to figure it out on the fly from some hormone-crazed asshole.
Because hormone-crazed assholes can be very persuasive.
Yes.
When they want to be.
Yeah. Especially when there's hormone-crazed receptive girls, you know.
Going blink, blink.
Yeah.
No, blink, blink.
So, you know, all I know is she's going to be 18 soon, and I'm not a grandfather, so I'm in the home stretch here.
Well, I guess high five. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And she's still alive, so your work here is done.
But you know, I think she got handled properly. We didn't stick her head in the sand from it all and all that, but we certainly didn't give her permission to go hoe it up either. You know,
I know, and I think that some people feel that if you talk to your child about it, or any, you know, that's like giving them permission. You know, it's like if you put your daughter on birth control, then it's mom saying, yes, go fuck as many guys on the wrestling team as you can. And I don't think that's necessarily the case.
No, but if you got a situation where your daughter's seeing somebody and it's going over 3 to 6 months, you have a responsibility.
Yes.
You know, because if you don't think they're doing it by then, you're stupid. You're just
dumb.
It's
very nice to think that you have, you know, ingrained that in your child. You know, I think deep down every parent romantically wishes that your children would wait till marriage, but realistically, that's not going to happen.
They're the episode of The Bachelor that's on right now. There's a girl that's down to the finals that's 25 and a virgin. And the only thought that's in my head about that is she's broken. There's something wrong here. You know, there's a disconnect. She's been told something or schooled in a certain way or has been told that this is something you need to do.
Right.
And I think if you know, to me, like the perfect age to me for sex is 17 to 19 years old.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, if you told most parents your kid's going to have sex somewhere between 17 and 19 years old, everybody would go, okay.
And then the late bloomers in college, but, you know, that's usually good for them. I mean, anyone that I've talked to that waited till like college or those years, I've never really heard anyone say how much it sucked, much like you do the kids in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I was drunk at a party and I wish I hadn't done it, you know.
Yeah, and that's all I ever try to get across to her is don't let the first time you do this be a situation. You have control of it. You understand it's going to happen, and you be the person in control of it is all I ask of you.
Because no matter how big of a whore you are in life, you will always remember the first.
Yeah.
Not necessarily lovingly or romantically, but you will always remember the first.
Yeah.
Do you want that person attached to that moment in your life for the rest of your life?
Yeah, and I just told her, I said, look, I'm not a woman, but from what I understand, it's not physically pleasant for you. You need to be with somebody that's at least considerate of that.
Yes, and not just jamming it in.
Yeah, that's right. Not just fisting you on the first day. Yeah. Yes, because that's bullshit, man.
That's a quick way to make sure that never happens again.
That's right. Because that'll be your last time having sex if that happens.
Yes.
You will not care for it. So, yeah, it's weird, Stace. It really is. But
this has been a very sexy episode.
It's been all over the fucking place. You know, sex
but
and
mostly
zombies.
Mostly about sex, yes.
Sex and zombies.
I will name the podcast this episode that.
Yeah, Sex and Zombies.
Sex and Zombies episode.
Yeah, it wasn't a super sexy episode. You know, I mean, there's some sexual harassment. There's some, you know, sexual etiquette during the, religious part of the conversation and stuff like that. You know, HR stuff. I mean, we pretty much ran sex situations through the complete social gamut. And even... And even got a little, you know, some other things in there, which went back to sex.
It always does.
Yeah, it always does. It's
basically what we know is that you and I, we've been around.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a couple of old whores that can't let it go. That's pretty much the.
No. Desperately clinging to our wet and lubricated youth.
Yes. Yes. Our bodies may be drying up, but our minds aren't. So
there's a slogan for the podcast.
There's the t-shirt. The Threesome Podcast. Our bodies may be drying up, but our minds aren't. So enjoyed it, Stace. I want to thank Drew at DBC for making Threesome Podcast and LT2 possible. I want to thank all of you for listening to Everybody's on the Show's podcast. Where is our Facebook page and our website and all that stuff, Stacey, where they can get old episodes?
ThreesomePodcast.com. It is the number 3. Don't spell out 3. ThreesomePodcast.com. And there you'll be able to find all of our social media. So if you use Facebook, click that. Twitter, Tumblr, and Google+.
And
it's there.
And please like our pages or add yourself to them or whatever the fuck each one of those asks you to do. Please do.
Yeah, we try to be active.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, you're out of control.
We are not social media gurus here.
No, No, but you're pretty good. I have to give you credit. You handle most of that stuff.
Did you like my boobie picture?
I love your boobie picture.
And my dick pic?
Not so much.
I was proud of that.
So go see all those things and find out if you want to hear old episodes. There's some goodies in the past, no doubt about it. And
you have not deleted them yet, so you can actually go all the way back to number one.
Yeah, I'm not going to delete them until I have to.
Okay, I thought you were going to sometime soon.
Well,
so.
I mean, at some point, I think it's somewhere around 60 or 70 episodes we have to get rid of it. But other than that,
okay.
We're good for now. If you have to go back 70 episodes, you don't give a fuck about us anyway.
Actually, it's amazing to see people like that find the podcast and then they do the binge listen. You can see like people downloading them like in order, you know, and it's like, yay, good for you.
That's cool. I like that.
Yes.
We're like House of Cards.
Except, you're Frank, I'm Claire, without the sex.
That's right. Well, they don't have any either, hardly. They just control the world together. That's pretty much us in a nutshell.
Yes.
All right. So we're out of time, Stace. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.